5. TFC is undefeated in 4. Calgary Wild is undefeated in 3. Pacific win. We weren't gone that fucking long. It's the Vocal Minority Podcast. Like, what the hell?
I feel very strange right now.
It's only been fucking 2 weeks.
I know. Raise
your voice.
I was just like, wait, no, that, hold on, wait, no, and then,
that's just,
hold on.
That's just domestic football clubs, the nonsense that's going on.
I know.
Then there's the players. There's nonsense there too.
So much nonsense.
How the fuck did all this interesting shit happen in 2 weeks? Also, if anybody's willing to send Duncan to Newfoundland again, throw a tip in the tip jar on the Patreon. We can send him over back there, have a lovely little vacation, and we'll see what other interesting shit happens while he's gone.
Okay, as long as that doesn't mean I also have to get sick again. Because that
happened too.
Yeah, that was my entire last, I don't know, 9 days.
So if anybody's got any diseases, you can go find Kristen.
I don't agree to this devil.
And then in 2 weeks, we can see which. Let's do the Duncan thing first, and if that doesn't work, I'm just like.
I mean, we're sending you to another continent. Don't you think that's sufficient?
I assure you that the second division Norwegian game I'm going to go to is going to be way more interesting than whatever the fuck Forge is thinking they're going to do over the 2 weeks I'm gone.
I don't know.
They just shat the bed in a 4-4 tie in their last game. I think I know I'm in for a real good time.
4-4 tie sounds like a lot of fun.
Sounds like a Duncan special right there.
Oh, that sounded like it was the premium catch of the day Duncan special of a match. 4-4 and they were up. I'm like, oh my God, please send me home like that. That'd be awesome.
Anyway, hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Vocal Minority Podcast. The podcast that, yes, will do just about anything in order to make interesting things happen in Canadian soccer.
It's what we do for you people.
This week's show is one of our patented catch-up shows. And again, yes, apologies about last week. Duncan was off a time zone and a half away, and I was sick. It was great fun. And Mark was just like, la, 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 la.
Yeah, nothing exciting.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
It was.
Mark was just chilling.
I played some video games.
Nice.
Yeah.
I did. I slept.
I honestly
sucked.
I can't. You know, if I wasn't podcasting right now,
you'd be playing a video game.
100%. 100%. I don't know if I'd be power washing something. Or if I
was right, your favorite.
Trying to figure out how many dudes it would take to beat up 20 horse-sized ducks. Those are just some, or one of the many golf games I can't stop buying because I've got a problem. They're $5 each at the most, but yeah. So anyway, I put on an emulator and was playing FIFA 99.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I don't know what delighted me more. The fact that I could play as 1860 Munich in a game.
Aww.
Or the fact that I was playing against Boa Vista, who no longer exist.
Damn.
Yeah. That's now like archival history.
Boa Vista are bankrupt?
Oh, yeah. They spent themselves into oblivion.
I was just gonna say, yeah, it was the monies. Mm. No one had the pretzel monies, so.
So yeah, right now, the supporters have kind of like created a Phoenix Club-ish, but I don't think they've got anywhere near the financial support that say other Phoenix clubs have had. And if they somehow manage to like rise through the ranks, it's quite likely that they won't be able to play in their neighborhood. because that's prime real estate and it's pretty congested and it's worth more being housing than it is going to be stadium. So anyway, FIFA 99, anyway. Y'all.
Woohoo! Yeah. Woo. All right. TFC kind of on a tear, sort of. There's new leaders atop of both the KMPL and the NSL. Half the men's national team is apparently signing with new clubs. Voyagers Cup has sprung back into action, although that was middling action. I don't even know. There was record-setting attendance at, like, it's just, okay, it's been a lot. Here's the panel. He officially had fun, but he did not kiss a cod. Say hello to Duncan Fletcher.
Hello. Talking of, like, things happening and everything, Premier League, like, how are you feeling about the Premier League so far, Kristen?
You couldn't wait till further into the show?
That could have gone either way.
I wasn't sure what the next words out of his mouth were going to be.
I was getting into guard position. I'm like, oh, he's going to say my name.
I know.
Halftime of that game against Ipswich. I was like, oh, shit, yeah, they're going to lose this one as well. This is great.
I know. Thankfully, there's been one half out of two games that they've been actually pretty decent.
With a giant helping of bullshit.
Yeah. I'll take it.
Indeed.
You know, it's astonishing that you can spend more money than you've ever spent in many years as a club and still be this bad.
You can't buy mentality.
No, apparently not. I
enjoy that the Gerby's given up and everything. He's like, it's Spurs. He's already at that point.
I'm surprised it took him until this season for that to happen. So they play Nottingham on the weekend. So I'm expecting them to go 0-3. Just because, although they're away, so there's a chance actually. Apparently they're now allergic to the home stadium, which they were last season as well. It's fabulous.
It's so nice, and it's got a cheese room and everything.
It's an incredible stadium. Have you seen it? Like, it's amazing. They just apparently can't play that. I don't know. Maybe the women's team put a curse on it, and like, good on them because
good on them.
You know, they deserve to get to play their lots too. No, I hate it. Oh, I absolutely hate it. It's horrifying. What day do they play this weekend? Do they play on Sunday, by chance? Or time here? Now I have to look. You'd think I would know as a dedicated Spurs fan. Oh, no, they play. Oh, but they play Saturday morning. So before I go to work, so that I can ruin my day before I go to my happy place, which is my job. So I'll be, yeah. Yeah, that's going to be so good. I'm so excited now. Thanks, Duncan. Thanks. Love you.
You're welcome.
There's not enough woos here, guys. Come on. Come on. Bring the energy up.
Oh, wait. Oh, no. You know what? I'm off on Saturday. No. Yeah, I know. It doesn't happen very often. I forgot. There's a chance we're going to try and squeeze in a late summer beach day. So if we're at the beach, I'm nowhere near a television because we left my house at like 8:30 in the morning. So, oh no, I can't watch. No, it's terrible. Yes, I know I could watch on my phone. Shut up.
What beach are you going to that you have to leave that early? Jesus.
Oh, we usually go up to Sable.
We
fancy. It's just, we like it up there. Plus we get to go to Super Burger on the way home.
Wait, what's a Super Burger? This is important.
Oh, it's a place called Super Burger that has some of the best burgers I've ever had and possibly the best onion rings.
All right. Also, put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I'm going to do it because I'm going to forget it. Go on.
Absolutely do it. I will send you their website. They also serve what they call Super Coffee, which I did. They also have a rivalry though with another burger place across the street. That I don't remember the backstory of. Other people have explained it to me and I always forget. But anyways, they are rivals and have been rivals for like decades. But they both still exist, which is hilarious. So you either go to one burger place or the other. You never freak. No. You do not double dip. You do not go back and forth. We are Super Burger people.
When in Shelburne?
Yes.
This is Super Burger. I've got it.
Yeah. It's so good.
Is it Beach Burger that's across the street? No, can't be.
No, it's...
That would be mean that they would put them like that. Like in the search results, like, oh, you guys are assholes.
Anyway, it's great, but they have baked goods, and they have, but it's one of those places where you're like, here's all my toppings, and then like it's packed. You just wait until someone yells your name, and then your burger is in a bag with your fries or your onion rings, which we always get, and then you go sit outside at one of the 6 million picnic tables and enjoy your burger. But so I got coffee there one time, and I was like, oh, they have a proper, this is the most amazing soccer podcast ever, by the way. They have a proper espresso machine.
I was totally thinking it.
but there's only like one person per shift that's trained to use it, apparently. So I'd asked, I was like, oh, can I get an Americano? And the girl looked terrified and was like, hold on, I have to go find the person that knows how to do this. And I was like, okay. But they do. They make excellent coffee. It's delicious. I've never had bad coffee there. So anyway, Super Burger.
Incredible.
Yeah. We're still introducing people. This is the best podcast. It's gonna be 3 hours. Mark, as we mentioned earlier, has had a delightful week of playing video games. Hello, Mark Kingpin.
Hello. Yeah, that's the most awkward intro I think I've ever had, and we've done 500 of these.
Indeed, absolutely. That was absolutely terrible.
It's no, you know what? It's nature of the beast. This is what we're doing now. To those of you who also may have found us again on your podcast feed of choice. Right. We caught up a bunch more, and the numbers are going up again a little bit. So sorry. Hey, hi. This is not a food podcast or a lifestyle podcast, as evidenced by the first 12 minutes of this. Sorry. it's the same insanity that you have not been listening to for the last 2 months. Also my fault. I wasn't paying attention. But anyway, welcome back. And thank you, Kristen.
You're very welcome. As for me, I am just delighted to no longer be sick and feel like a human again, so that I can, watch at least one of my teams disappoint me this weekend. Yay!
Yay!
Yay! What's been happening? Because lots has been happening. We're not going to do the match by match, but we do have to talk about the fact that Toronto are
decent.
Decent. Yeah, I was going to say, like, not great.
Above decent.
But,
or above decent.
Like, they haven't lost in 5 matches.
It's five?
It's five.
Holy shit, that was four. I'm not editing that.
No, that's fine. It's four since
the intro.
They lost again. It's four since the middle of August, since since they came back to BMO for after the 2 week break. But they've won a couple, and speaking of matches that they won, and I still can't believe this, even though a friend of the show, Mike, did make sure to quote me in a text message when I said there was no way in hell that they were going to beat Miami. I mean, if that's what it takes, if this is like me yelling at Kyle Larin during matches to get him to be productive, if I have to just say random shit about Toronto on podcasts and then they fucking turn around and beat Miami in Miami without what is currently their best player, because he got his face broken after scoring the tying goal in the previous match. So I don't know this. I don't understand this team at all. I have no idea what's going on. I don't know. I look at them and I see a better team. I also see that they still have good, what's his face? Who's the one of the injured players who's still yet to play for Toronto? Is it Palacio?
No idea.
Exactly, because they signed him months and months ago, and you know, he's oh yeah, Nelson Palacio, who hasn't. They picked. Remember, he's the guy they got from RSL, and we were like, "Oh yeah, we know this name." Yeah. He's yet to play. He's still getting fit.
That seems very TFC-ish.
It seems incredibly TFC.
We get exactly the caliber of player we're hoping for, and he has not made an appearance. Yeah, okay.
But so that's why the signing and performance of Nicholas Dorsch had been so delightful. You know, two matches, and both matches were like, oh, I like him. Like, he seems to actually know what he's doing. He seems to be doing it at the very least competently, if not above competency, you know, like exceeding expectations. He would gotten an exceeds on his review, scored two goals, and then got his face broken. And has had surgery. Now, apparently, the TFC have not put a timeline on him returning. But I guess this past Friday at a media scrum of some sort, probably after training, it sounds like he might come back sooner than they thought. Obviously, it wasn't on the weekend last. I don't know if it'll be this weekend against Chicago, but could be a positive, because he really has been like, that's the sort of signing you sort of hope that Toronto would make more often. And he's been, again, it's a super small sample size, but he's been enjoyable. Like, anyway, but yeah, Toronto are looking not terrible. And now, again, like they do need to not have to come back and tie up games all the time. Like, that is a patented TFC thing, right? But yeah, going back, so that's 5-8. Shit, they lost to DC, but again, lots of draws again, but they did sort of mid-July. They had a couple scoreless draws, and then they dropped that game to DC, which was late. And since then, anyway, they're on a little bit of a. We're solid. They're so close to the playoffs. If they had held on to that win against the Pizza Rats, which they should have, they would have limped into that last spot, you know, but they're in the mix for that right now, which is not something I thought that I would say about Toronto right now. I thought maybe, I don't know, but I know we said that I think I did predict they'd make the playoffs this year, but they've been sort of so underwhelming, right? But yeah, their only reason they're not in the final spot, I think, is goal differential. So
yeah, and that seems positive. I watched half a game. It was like the game on Saturday. I think it was, I wouldn't say it was against the Pizza Rats, but maybe not, because I feel like they came from behind to tie.
Oh, they did come from behind. Sorry, I was thinking of a different match. Apologies.
But yeah, that's like the second half that I watched. I said, oh, they actually looked quite good there. So Theo Corbiano in particular was just like, okay.
He's turning it into something, isn't he?
He was getting the ball a lot out there and looking dangerous-ish. And the product wasn't always consistent or anything, but I was like, okay. He actually looks like very useful and dangerous. And then, you know, Salawi's good, Mihailovic is good, George Michael, Josh Sargent, I guess, has scored a couple of goals recently. He didn't do much in that one bit that I saw, but I feel like, you know, the attack looks decent, if not spectacular. The defense looks, you know, on paper, looks like, who the fuck are these guys? But it seems like they're doing okay as well. So, yeah, okay.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I know. It's like, oh, okay. So they're playing. They haven't got Chicago on the weekend, and then Nashville midweek next week, and then they're on the road for a few games. And they have a bunch. Like they've got a good chunk in September where they're like Saturday, Wednesdays. Oh no, I guess I did Saturday. Never mind. It's just that one little thing. But yeah, so they got three on the road: Orlando, St. Louis, and Nashville again. And then back home for a couple. You know what's interesting? Is it's the X right now, and they're not playing Montreal.
They usually do.
The only thing I figure is that by moving it out of the X, that adds an extra, hey, maybe we should go to a game type of date. You know what I mean? It's like the X is using your ticket to go to the X is all like kind of a, oh, that's a nice bonus, you know, a reason to actually go to a game. But having the X and Montreal just seems like you could just postpone a Montreal game until next, a couple weeks later, and you'll get the people who all want to go to the X and also want to see Toronto play Montreal. But I do like, I do miss the fact that it was a nice, tidy little tradition of.
Yeah. Like that was like, that,
at
I
the
just,
Canadian
I sort of,
National Exhibition.
Yeah. Like that was always the thing. So anyway, but yeah, like some, anyway, we'll see what the, what, you know, they've got the next two games at home. Although again, they've been doing well, both well or competent, at least home and away. Haven't dropped points, haven't lost in five. So, let's see if these next, two, three matches can maybe get them into that last playoff spot. They're right behind, so they're right behind Orlando and the Energy Drinks, for 8 and 9. And like not, again, that was a chance to, get it, make a move on the Pizza Rats too. But anyway, there's some possibilities here for them to maybe do some things, which is nice. It's weird to have vaguely positive thoughts about Toronto, but they've been vaguely positive, so why the hell not? Oh, T terrorist got Gazdag, eh? All right, well, there you go. Know where he was ending up. Oh well, poor Columbus. That's okay. Anyway, so congratulations, Toronto. Nicholas, continue to heal, please, because he's just been so fun to watch. And then yeah, hopefully Osorio gets to play again this season. It was such a surprise, one of the recent matches. I'm like, wait, here's Osa? I had no idea he'd been injured. I was like, I don't remember him getting hurt in a game. He got hurt in training, apparently.
I take him for granted so hard that I just assume he's out there even when he's not. So, like, that's on me, man. Like, that's not, that's me. That's me not even paying attention close enough. Even when they show the starting 11 on the screen, I'm like, okay, it's Osorio and 10 other guys. All right, who's there? I just automatically assume. So, damn, I did not know he was hurt.
And yeah, like they're not expecting him back until October. So I was like, oh, okay. Maybe he'll play a couple more games this season? Question mark? We'll see how badly he's hurt, I guess. But I guess that also probably wipes out him playing in any of the men's team friendlies that are coming up. So anyway. All right. Let's move on to the NSL. Speaking of excitement, especially this last weekend. So yeah, the NSL, again, new leader atop the table. The Wilds continue to not lose. Almost had another win, and just honestly lost a, God, that goal was so late. like I swear she scored and then the whistle blew. That was just, I was like, come, I was like, yeah, just because I'm so happy to see them doing well. I'm like, yes, yes, we could have, you know, some sort of balance. Everyone could sort of look kind of good. This would be so nice. Is this
where I say, but they're only in sixth?
Yeah. but they have double Duncan, digit points
that's
now.
That's been living rent-free in my head ever since you did that bit, and I cannot stop it. And I'm sorry if it ends up being my bit when it's done. Please, please steal it back from me because I love it so hard. I was about to throw in earlier when we were talking about how good Toronto's doing. Yeah, but they're in 23rd. That's when you look at the supporters shield list. That's so fucking far. Anyway, yeah, please.
I mean, that's going to be second bottom.
No, they're not. Because there's 45 teams.
Anyway, they have double-digit points now, so congratulations to Calgary.
Holy shit.
I know.
They're a real club now.
They are. I'm so proud of them. And then AFC Toronto finally broke the BMO field curse. They fucking won.
Wow.
I know. Kylie Hunter's goal. Very nice. But yeah, with the win over Halifax, Montreal currently in first spot in the NSL standings. It's the top three. So I love, yeah, again, so this is, you know, there's the top three, and then there's just Vancouver and Halifax. They're basically just trading back and forth between fourth and fifth. They're sort of like 1 week one of them will be good. And then the next week, the other team will be good. And they just go back and forth. I have no idea what Vancouver or Halifax are doing this season. Like, they're not sucking entirely, but they're also not good, really. They're just like, yeah, I don't know. I you know what I kind of want, weirdly, because it will serve the chaos demon inside of me, is I do want Calgary to go on a tear and just sneak in and pip the fourth spot from both of them.
As Kristen, as somebody who loves the idea of this happening, the wheels have to fall off, and I'm surprised they didn't fall off after the first win.
I know.
So, like, that is a mountain. That is a substantial. Like, it's not mathematically.
I don't know if there's enough matches left for them to do it. I think there is.
I'll check that in a second. But like, I mean, realistically, they're only 13 points out, which is four wins and a draw.
So there's seven game weeks left. Seven. So we're, again, they could, but
and
it's
also assuming the other teams fuck up.
Yes. Oh yeah. Like
it's obviously. Like if Vancouver wins two, this is over.
Yeah. But Vancouver have been, again, so inconsistent. Who fucking knows, right? And so is how anyway, but so you've got this top three now. So you've got Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto that are separated by 3 points. So 34 points for Montreal, 33 for Ottawa, 31 for Toronto. And then it drops down to 23 for Vancouver, 21 for Halifax. Also, every time I look at Halifax goal differential and see a negative goal differential, yet they're in fourth, and it does make me laugh. But so this, anyways, but this top three is really, really interesting, right? Like, it literally anything can happen with these guys now, right? Like, it's fascinating. But we do want to talk about, or at least mention, I guess I did put in the things to talk about. So maybe we'll just wait and we'll talk about the Roses on the weekend. In a little bit, but I'm happy for Calgary that they have at least stopped sucking. You know, like I don't know that they will do what I would love them to do just for fun, but I would like them to see them continue to perform well. just to have parity within the league, right? Like, I want to see all six teams next year, seven, and then there's however expansion works in 2028. I do wish they were going to eight next year, but, you know, wishes for horses and all that. But again, it's been fun to watch. I do try to watch NSL games whenever I can, just because it is enjoyable. I like the quality of the games, and I like the crowds. Sorry, CanPL, but more people come out to watch this right now consistently. So that's kind of cool, and I love it. But yeah, Montreal on top, but Ottawa right there, and so is Toronto.
Excellent.
CanPL, again, a new leader. A new leader has emerged.
New
leader. Like every time I see it, I'm like, a new stud has entered the bungalow. You know, like, so Calgary.
A new stud has entered what?
The bungalow. It's reality TV, trashy dating show crap talk. I just assume that's how they introduce everybody. It's either a stud or a star, not a starlet. I don't know, a new hottie. I don't know. I don't watch any of them. I don't watch.
I only watch porn documentaries. Sorry.
Well, I really don't. The reality TV that I watch Survivor. I watch Top Chef, although I did not watch last season. So I used to always watch Top Chef. I suppose I should get caught up. I do watch The Great British Bake Off because it makes me happy and is my cozy reality TV joy, although I'm not looking forward to this season. Ugh. I watch The Amazing Race because I love The Amazing Race. And The Amazing Race Canada was just in Peterborough. It was awesome. I was like, yay, Peterborough.
Teams must safely exit the city.
Shut up. Peterborough's nicer, has more stuff. They had to go on the locks, and they were in the Canoe Museum, and they went to Rogers Cove.
The Canoe Museum's
awesome. I will hear no derision in regards to the Canoe Museum.
What's in the Canoe Museum, Kristen? Canoes?
Lots of them.
Ooh.
It's
like famous, famous people's canoes? Or
sometimes.
Just,
historical canoes.
Ooh.
Hey, canoes help build this country. I know where you lived.
You are Mark. Yes.
Duncan, if you look over to this wall, you will see it belonged to Alan Thicke. And on that wall over there, Brian Adams once remarked about the color of it.
Mm. Wow.
You'll find the gift shop at the end of the hall.
You guys have no respect for history at all.
This is the canoe that all Canadians learn how to fuck in.
Sorry, I thought you were saying all Canadians know how to fucking, and I thought you meant it like as a lead into something.
No.
Like what?
Definition of a Canadian is someone who knows how to make love in a canoe. Somebody said that.
Pierre Burton.
Oh, there you go. Pierre Burton's
and
canoe.
And they made
the one that Pierre Burton learned to fucking. Yeah. Is it there, Kristen? What? Is that one of them? Is it?
I hate you both.
I just love the idea that those two things I said could actually be in the museum. I'm sure it's massive. Like, I've not been in a small museum, so.
This is actually then a new one. They built a new one because they had to expand it and renovate.
Is this too many canoes? Oh, wow. Okay. Are there Olympic medal winning canoes in there?
Canoe Museum is awesome. You both suck. Anyway, so CanPL. Calgary is top of the league right now. And actually, if you look at the top four, and really, like, it's again, it's top two and then like Ott Leddy, but because of the very unbalanced schedule, CanPL, how does York Six have three games in hand on people? Even though Ottawa and the Seagulls who are in third and fourth, have played 20 matches. Calgary and Hamilton have only played 19. They're not close enough for those games to matter. So, like, Calgary and Hamilton just exist in the 1-2 sphere on their own right now. But Hamilton, struggling badly of late. And I know Mark won't argue because, well, he's watched them. And I don't think anyone could argue that they just haven't looked good. Like, they just look meh. They don't look focused. They don't look organized. Like, they look weirdly unorganized for a Bobby Smyrniotis team. You know what I mean? And again, it's not that they've been losing constantly, but they're losing enough that any ground they sort of make up by, you know, yeah, like beating the Aquaman, that kind of thing, is wiped away by a loss to the Supra. And even though, you know, they beat them a few weeks ago, but, like, it's just, they don't have any consistency right now. And I don't know, it's just every time I've watched a Hamilton match of late, I just find it very uninspiring. They are boring matches and not in a, oh, they're just competent. They're just not good matches. Even when they win, they're not good matches. It's weird. Like, yeah. Like you said, they're like the worst good team or something.
Yeah. Something along those lines. I'm sure I've changed the descriptor from game to game, depending on how emotionally attached I am to their, what the fuck did you guys just do for 90 minutes and how did you pull this off type of play. The Voyagers Cup first leg semifinal was more of that, you know, it was just more of that. How in the fuck are you guys still in, like, second, but they're still 8 points clear of anything Ottawa could be threatening, which is totally catchable at this rate. But, like, that's, I'm confused. I'm forever confused right now. And I don't watch this with enough of a, you know, eye for detail as both of you guys. But it's just, I don't understand what it is. I think there might be so much of it that I just don't understand. A, how do you have this many points? And B, how have you not lost more?
But I don't think they looked this bad earlier in the season, though.
No, I feel like earlier in the season, there was a lot of, like, 1-0s, 2-1s.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't killing anybody. A couple games where they put 4 past somebody. But, like, most of them were 1-goal games. And it was just, why are you struggling against Vancouver? Which, to be fair, we now know that Vancouver's not dog shit anymore, at least this season. But, like, why are you struggling against Inter, Toronto, York, 9, United? Like, this should be... It's not even that it's not even scoreline dominance, but just tactical dominance. And I find it hard to believe that everyone has figured them out. I just think everyone on Forged, who, like, the outfield players, aren't entirely certain what exactly how this is supposed to work anymore. And I find that very jarring. But they don't get punished enough for it. So anyway, it's just... Sorry. I feel like it's a cyclical argument I have with myself every 10 minutes on this show. And I understand.
And do you find, you know, sort of perverse enjoyment in this and this stuff? The ship, but you guys still can't beat them.
A little bit, right?
And you just want to keep it going and keep it going and just keep shitting the bed, but somehow still winning all the way to to the cup final and everything.
Yeah, we're shit and we're still in first. We're shit and we're still in first. Like,
yeah.
But I've been singing that since fucking May.
Whatever, right?
Like, this isn't an August special. This has been since early in the season where I noticed this. It's like, it's confusing, but like the Homer in me obviously is like, this is frustrating. But the one who likes football, the pragmatic eye, finds this really fucking hilarious. Like, we are so not good, and yet none of you can do anything about it. Like, what the fuck is this? Which is why if like Vancouver ends up winning the whole league, and beating Hamilton in the final, I will be at peace with the whole thing.
Oh, I will 100% get a Seagulls kid if that happens.
It's gotta be Vancouver, or it's gotta be like the fourth place team. Calgary beating Hamilton, I don't give a shit. I just don't. Ottawa beating Hamilton, I don't give a shit. Nope. Super beating Hamilton in the final. Yes, please. Yes, please. Vancouver, the Seagulls, yes, please. 100%. Make it happen. And it's like, I don't know. I wish I was in conversation with KMPL fans more regularly, such that like removing of the banter. Like, I don't want to hear Forge sucks from somebody who's a Calgary supporter. Of course that's what you're gonna say.
Yeah.
I'd be bitter too if I were a Calgary supporter. But like just acknowledging the odd frustration of watching this go, aren't they supposed to be the poster child team of this fucking league? And this is what you're doing? And again, since May, I'm not said this like last month, the month before. It's been going on for most of the season.
Yes.
So somebody make a good story at the end of the season. Like, Vancouver win this fucking thing. That would be the best story.
That would be kind of cool. That would be pretty cool. All right. So other excitement is that the Aquaman actually fucking won a match. Yes. Dunny, coach for life. Like, you can't get rid of him. I was so sad that I missed this. I did not get to watch this because, one, it looked like just an absolutely ridiculous game. Like, this was, you know, there was the guy that won the game for Pacific is who put them down in the first place with an own goal. Like, the match opened with an own goal 3 minutes in.
That's special.
You know, and then
you kind of get the feeling, if that happens, all right, this is going to be a fun game.
Yes. So Diego Poninix?
Sure.
Anyway, yes.
I see it.
Poninix. He was the one who scored the own goal, but then 85th minute, 92nd minute, scored two goals to win the match for them. And in between, there was other goals. So Caden Chung, right? Remember him? He scored for the Aquaman. Ryan Telfer. Don't forget his name. Halifax Wanderers for now. He plays everywhere. We love Ryan Telfer, though. He scored. Lorenzo Caligari, fabulous name. Scored. Terrace Omolka, other delicious name. Scored. You know, like so multiple goal scorers. But I do love that Diego Koninix opened the scoring and closed the scoring. he scored three goals on the day. And two were for his own team. So congratulations.
I want him to be in the manager's office saying, come on, it's a hat trick. It counts. Where's my bonus? You know, it's just give him the $20. It's funny. Just do it. But I also do love the fact that he was so hell bent on making things right.
Yes.
That the goals were almost 90 fucking minutes apart.
Yep. So funny.
It's like, no, I'm going to correct this, I promise. Just fabulous. I'm happy for them. You know,
oh my God, seriously. They've been so close recently.
But yeah, they have been quietly improving. Like, they're not a Swiss cheese defense, just nonsense, pulling them apart and then scoring goals. It's like now they're starting to look, I'm not going to say formidable. That's too generous, but competent, cohesive, you know. And that's, I don't particularly care when one team's just a crap, unless of course they used to be good, then I'm okay with it. But
yes, that's different.
This ain't that. That's what I described as what everybody will feel when Hamilton ultimately becomes a basement team. So
or mid table, you know.
Just out of the playoffs
or just not one of the top two teams in the league.
They didn't finish last, but they were eliminated three rounds before the end of the season.
There we go. Something like that.
Yeah, that way there's the victory. What's the opposite of a victory lap? It's like a defeat tour. Like, you're just going around being reminded that you won't be in the fucking postseason for the first time ever. Yeah.
It's like, remember when Jackson got subbed off at that TFC match and went off on the far touchline instead? And we were humming the Incredible Hulk music as he did the sad walk around the pitch to get over to the benches. So whatever the larger.
Remember when we were funny at games? Jeez.
Right? Do you remember that?
Remember Jackson, when we were
how
at
long
games?
Ago?
Yeah, remember when we were at 2016,
yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Decade of hilariousness.
Jeez. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so I am just, again, I hate looking at the standings and seeing just how out of whack they are. Again, imbalanced schedule notwithstanding, although it does drive me fucking mental. You have eight teams. There's three games that just but to look at Pacific and just see the badness and this stuff is slowly lifting. Again, they're almost to double digit points. They're almost to Calgary Wild levels. So come on, you can do it, boys. I believe in you. and I do appreciate that it was one of those ones where they were, you know, I love that he's the one again that won the game for the team, but that they fought so hard through that match to not throw it away. You know, like, now their next match is against the Atleti. That's not ideal for them, but who knows? Again, you often get a bounce with things like this, right? Like, that's, they really have been knocking on the door of a win for a few weeks now. And to have that sort of thing happen is a big deal.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, you know, it's bound to snowball from here. I mean, remember when Dunfield was at Toronto and they lost a bunch of games, but then they finally won that game. And then
that was the beginning of something incredible.
After they won that game, they were really good for the rest. Next few games, weren't they?
Sure, that's totally how I remember it.
yeah.
The other problem with them playing the Atleti this coming week is the current CanPL August Player of the Month, which is the Flowery House himself, Nicolas Fleuriot-Chateau, scored dramatical to win their match the other night against York Six after looking. That was an interesting game. I did watch a good chunk of that because I was home and awake enough to watch some soccer. And York Six had control of that match for a good chunk of it. And then Late in the second half, Ottawa finally woke up and were like, we should probably try and do something. And like Chateau's goal was like in the 98th minute. It was so late. It was so late. And it was very dramatic. And he took a yellow card for celebrating like crazy. You know, he took off his jersey and I don't know. He stripped off of like anything that was on his upper body came off and he like jumped in. Anyway, he was it's very dramatic. That was the winning goal he scored. He scored 5 in 7 matches or something. He's kind of like their go-to guy right now. So that's something for Pacific to watch out for. But again, it was interesting to watch Ottawa struggle against, you know, York Six because they've not been good. You know, they've been again wildly inconsistent this season. So it's I don't know. It's I feel like there's not a single team I don't feel like you can look at in the league right now, except for up until recently, the Aquamen, who have just been, you need some points, go to Starlight or the Royal Botanical place or have them travel to you. There's some points for you. But they have, again, they've been slowly pulling themselves up, you know. They've had a few draws, now they have a win. But there, I don't feel like there's been a single of late anyway. There hasn't been a team that I look at and just think, yeah, always unbeatable now. And again, it's this later part of the season. Maybe, you know, seasonal fatigue is starting to hit. They're playing more, you know, there's some Voyager's Cup matches for some people. Like, I don't know. It's been really interesting. Even when you look at the standings and see, yeah, those top two. And then those next ones, and then you know the bottom of the barrel with the Aquaman. But again, excise them out, and I don't feel like there's any one team. Yeah, York Six probably beatable, and Supra sometimes, but then Supra will come back and be like, no, we're good, we promise. Did you know we have Sean Ray? Like he's here, he's gonna score some goals. I don't know. What are like? I don't know how much you're both watching, but I just feel like this is a really sort of interesting season in terms of development amongst the teams. I don't know if that's the introduction of Supra necessarily, because yeah, some players moved around, or a lot of players moved around this year, but I don't know. I think it's been a more interesting type of football to watch with the CanPL this year, most of the time.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a lot different just because I feel like between Halifax going from what seemed to be a strength to not quite hitting that same stride, any I kind of felt like with Vanny over there, that they would be just kicking ass all over the place, and it just hasn't
Yeah.
happened yet. Vancouver being fun as fuck makes no sense to me,
I know.
but at the same time, like, I've noticed that Martin Nash knows how to get a team to play offensively and
Yep.
struggle defensively, and if he can get the second part to kind of work, the first part does all the lifting, and that's why they're in fourth. And Forge, as mentioned before, actually, I'm surprised that Atletico is doing as well as they are, because this seems like the second year in a row where they've basically lost one or two of their best players, who happen to be one or two of the best players in the league. And whatever their backfill is, still keeps them in the top half of the table. It's been an odd season just because teams haven't dropped as far as I hoped, or when I say hoped, expected. And the improvement of others has just been, this is too fast. You need to slow down. Vancouver shouldn't be 5 points clear of a playoff spot. They should be 5 points behind a playoff spot. Too Good Too Fast. Now, 18 League, yada, yada, yada. But yeah. It's, I also feel like, and this is more, again, back to the forcing, which I've mentioned many times. Nobody is showing pure dominance. And that's weird to me. Because the previous six seasons, somebody has been dominant.
Yeah.
If it wasn't Forge, it was Calgary. And if it wasn't Calgary, it was Ottawa. But if it wasn't Calgary, Ottawa, it was Forge. And that title is totally for the taking, no matter what position you're in. But nobody seems to step up. So, yeah, it's... I don't know what to make of the season. I hope kind of by the end of it, a little more, okay, yeah, this kind of like story arc makes sense rather than just blunt force results for everybody.
I feel like it's open. York should be better than they are. But like after the sightings they made and what have you, and this is like, okay, I feel like they seem as if they're somewhat slowly getting their act together. But yeah, no, not really. They're just sort of stumbling along again. It's odd. Super have probably done better than I thought they would have. Yeah, done well for the expansion team thing. But again, it's Calgary and Hamilton, what have you. Ottawa, they're going to be the ones of all sort of there at the end, really. And a little bit of Vancouver as well, which is weird. But yeah, it's not crazily different. It's more or less what I would have expected.
I do wonder, like obviously Hamilton and Ottawa have money, right? Like it is one of the reasons why they're successful. They have more resources than some of the other teams do.
I look forward to Jonathan David showing up for Atletico Ottawa for the playoffs come around.
Did you see the post they put out? Like props to the Ottletty social media team. They actually put out a post. They're like, "Welcome to the Ottletty family, Jonathan." I was like, you know what? I'm gonna give you that. That's good. That's very good. So you're not wrong, Duncan. But and again, I know the money thing and team ownership within the CanPL is often a bit murky. But who owns Calgary? Like they have some money too, because again, you're not this league does partially run on that, right? And they, again, consistent top performers. So they are owned by Spruce Meadows Sports and Entertainment. Okay.
Interesting.
I mean, Spruce
Meadows Sports and Entertainment.
A division of Spruce Meadows. Yeah, they're owned by the corporation.
By the horse people.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's
obviously the Shell Stadium, but.
That's a twist I wasn't expecting, actually.
Yeah, yeah, the Southern family. So,
how Southern?
Right?
Like, are we talking like Mexico Southern? Are we going down to like, Nicaragua Southern? Like, how Southern is this family? And why do they put it in their name? Nobody likes a bragger, assholes. No wonder I hate Calgary. Jesus Christ.
Marge Ron Southern. Yeah. They're media people, if I remember correctly. Anyway, the daughter is in charge. Used to be a show jumper. Anyway, it's interesting. It's one of those ones because again, normally I don't pay attention to Calgary, really, right? Just other than wanting to rescue Tommy Wheel and put him with a team that we like. I was like, wait. Because they have resources, right? So, that is part of that's part of the issue with this league, right? Is that if you have the money, you know, like there's, you know, obviously we've lost teams. York Six's ownership still always feels very question mark, whether it's, is it still the league or do they own themselves again or so yeah, so that stuff is always swirling about still under the surface for a number of these teams. So again, that's why I always sort of hope for parity in terms of maybe boosting support and, you know, improving, hopefully improving the product across the league. And I do hope that they are serious about this upcoming expansion. Like this league needs to get into double digits. It absolutely has to happen. And I hope they continue to try to partner with NSL on stadiums. Like I think that's really important to get right sizing the stadiums for these teams is, man, it's so important. And I think
100%.
I
still will maintain, even though Hamilton gets good crowds, CFL stadiums are not conducive to making the games an event because it still feels like you're playing to a cavern of seats. And
yeah, for the Super game today, that you know, it wasn't completely full, but it's like, hey, that's a small stand, it's probably a small crowd, but it looks like it's more or less, it fits in that stadium. Right. And
yeah,
this looks like a good crowd. I don't know what it was, the stadium, like the stand where the camera is, I don't know what that is all about as far as capacity goes and how full it was, but that one stand on the other side of the opposite the camera. Well, yeah, okay, that is a good sensible size for this type of crowd, and then yeah, this looks like it'd be a decent crowd to be in.
Absolutely. And I think the other thing that kind of concerns me is though the CFL stadium is far from optimal, who would pay to build one in this economy, in this real estate market, and where the fuck would you put it such that the people who would go to a soccer game could actually get there without having to drive 30 minutes north of Montreal, drive 40 minutes north of Toronto? I know it's not that far, but traffic. Like, my concern is the infrastructure both of location and proper venue for this to succeed. And I don't know, like, I don't know where you can improve it. Like the fact that there's the whole speculation that Supra and the Roses might move into Saputo and the Impact are going to move into the Dome. Okay, that's great. That's definitely closer to what Hamilton has, Ottawa has. But not everybody can do this. Like, I don't know. I just, we have a weird situation that at some point in time, someone's going to have to actually build a thing, and who's building it? It's just so expensive.
Yeah.
I'm scared. It scares me. The Winnipeg thing kept me up because it's like, You don't have to be an economics major to go, this is not fucking working. And like, you can't create an atmosphere in a cave. You can't in a canyon. And what these leagues need is the intimacy, the like to feel like you're with people watching a thing rather than scattered about. And like, I know y'all got like a 25,000 seater here and a 30,000 seater there. Let's put them all on one side. That's not what we're talking about. It needs to be theirs. It needs to be a soccer stadium first. Is really what it is.
Yes. Yes.
And that's an entire show I could happily.
Yeah. Talk. Oh, I know. We could do. We sort of almost are right now. Anyway, there's. I know a lot of people talk about the fact that the campaign is not going to last. I truly hope they're wrong, because as much as we sort of shit on the Campiel for their mistakes, especially next to seeing what the NSL has done in their first two seasons so far, terrible website notwithstanding, is God, I hate it so much. It doesn't mean that we don't want it to succeed. Like this league is necessary, and this league has done some good things. It's just it started from a bad space. Like, it wasn't set up particularly well. It was set up with a lot of, enthusiasm and excitement, which is great. We want that shit. But they didn't think foundationally, and they, I think they bought into, bill of goods from MediaPro and all that, right? Like, there's stuff that happened, but we gotta look past that. We're in a number of years now, and hopefully this is heading in, finally a team in Quebec, which is huge, and hopefully we're looking into like the next steps kind of thing. So that's the hope. Oh my gosh, we should like move on a bit. V Cup semifinals, which Mark has alluded to as we were talking about the Campiel, and we were all watching the end of it right before we started recording. So the first away leg, or the first leg of the tie between Supra and Hamilton, was this evening right before recording. And yeah, Hamilton lucky to escape with a point in that one. But 1-1 only, so Hamilton's pretty good in their home stadium. But to return legs, what, in 2 weeks? It's not next week, it's the week after. So they have time to reset and recover from this. But Mark, you watched most of or all of this match. So do you want to give us a quick sort of review of it? I only saw part of the second half, Duncan. I don't know if you were watching the whole thing or not.
No, it's probably about the last 30 minutes, I think it was. It
All
was
right.
40 minutes.
That
Yeah.
sounds
All
about what I did, yeah.
right. Yeah, so the first half was mostly watching Hamilton get the ball over the half and then screw it up and then watch the super counterattack result in nothing. And I know it happened at least three times. It could have been four or five. I've just lost track. But that w I feel like Montreal should have 100% had run away with this game by the end of the first half, and that is not exactly what it kind of happened. I mean, Montreal did score a nice-ish goal, if I remember correctly. But then the second half was a bit it wasn't, when you're seeing like squeaky bum time, and
Yep.
which is still a weird phrase for me to say out loud. But it starts like in the 70th minute. Now, this is the first leg. So there's an entire other fucking game that's going to happen in Hamilton. Fine. But Hamilton was playing like they could be going out, which was good to see. I like seeing the urgency. However, waiting until the 95th minute to tie it up on an kind of a messy, ugly ass goal, like that's not. Oh, God. Feel free to take a pot shot at me for saying this, but that's not a really, it wasn't a very forged goal. Wasn't really elegant. It wasn't really
There was no
tic-tac-toe.
elegance in that goal at
No, it
all.
was dog shit. Everything across was dog shit. The next hit was dog shit. The fact that there were two orange shirts staying in front of that ball and one of them hit it correctly from about 6 inches out was remarkable. And like that was just like, this is the whole thing. Like, how in the fuck are you guys in first? And now, how the fuck are you guys in second? How in the fuck are you guys in the semifinal of a knockout competition? I get to add to that list of how the fuck are you blank. when it comes to Forge. Ugly bowling shoe, ugly fucking goal tied it up at the death of the match. I don't think anybody covered themselves in glory. Like Hamilton definitely didn't cover themselves in glory, but Super really had them dead to rights and could not put another one past them, which they would have deserved and rightfully earned, and did not. So, aside from blah, 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 all to play for our next leg. If that Montreal team shows up in Hamilton, I think Hamilton will beat them. They need to be crisper. They need to be more clinical. And if Hamilton's going to hand you that many counterattacks, for the love of fucking God, bury one. Just one. It'll change the entire game. But if you don't, they're just going to keep playing with two defenders at the back who are playing 6 inches from the fucking halfway line and making it, they're just begging you, here, have another breakaway. You're not going to do anything with it. And that's what kind of, it felt like a challenge, and the challenge was blown each time. It was glorious in that way. Do not recommend watching. I kind of wish I just waited and watched the highlight pack. Back to you, Kristen.
Thank you, Marcus. Let's move on to some things we want to talk about. And here's a heads up warning. Most of this section is just us talking about where, I don't know, like 8 of the national team players have moved on to in the last like 3 days. Because it's a lot.
So many.
Every time you blink, someone's joining another team. I was like, wait. So I thought I had the whole list. I don't understand. What is going on? But the one we'll just cross off the table because I didn't realize that they fucked up the deadline or whatever is that Derek Cornelius not going to Rayo Vallecano because they messed up at the deadline. So stays in Marseille.
According to Christian Jack at halftime, I guess I watched the entire second half. Listen, according to Christian Jack at halftime, it's basically where Cornelius is currently. Basically, he's got a bit of injury crisis going on and says, yeah, no, we need to keep this guy right now. They were apparently down to like only three fit centre backs in the entire squad. So decided they didn't want to let him go. Is apparently why.
Oh. All right. Mm. I mean, that's nice question.
So hopefully that means he gets to play for his current team. But yeah.
All right. We'll take that as a positive then. Okay, here we go. Let's see if I only have a, anyways, so many happened. I didn't have them all in the rundown. Big one right now. Oh God, they all feel big, but Jonathan David, on loan from Juventus to Atletico Madrid, with an option to buy, blah, blah, blah. So congratulations, Jonathan David, for getting the fuck out of Juventus where that was just going horribly wrong, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Not enough minutes. Just, as soon as I saw the news, as much as I don't like Atletico Madrid, I don't, but I think La Liga and this team in particular, I think the playing style will suit Jonathan David much better. I think he's got a greater chance to be productive here and get some consistent minutes is the hope anyway. So not a terrible move. It's not the move that a lot of people were expecting, but I still think it's a good one. A bit of an older-ish move is Steven Mustachio to Swansea City, which I don't think is a terrible move. It feels, I guess it's more lateral. I wasn't sure if I felt like it was a step down for him, but
I feel it's a bit of a step down. I mean,
like it is a little,
again,
right?
It comes down to, is he actually playing for Porto? But yeah, I think, you know, Porto, they're obviously one of the three teams in Portugal. They regularly qualify for Europe and that sort of thing, as Swansea in the Championship. But maybe it's a better situation for him personally, because he definitely wasn't like full-on first-team guy at Porto. So
Yeah, that sort of dropped off rapidly there too, right? Like he used to be the guy at Porto and then wasn't.
Yeah, he's at least a guy, and then yeah, I think he's now he's kind of like on the bench at best, and so yeah, hopefully this will work out for him.
But what I do want to highlight about Stephen Eustachio going to Swansea is that you seek out his rookie initiation video, or the new signings tradition. Basically, this happens all the time. They make the new players sing. Many teams do this. I honestly sort of love it. But what I love even more is that what song what he chose to sing, and this is a this song came out before he was born. So he chose Bryan Adams' huge ballad hit, Heaven, and did a decent job of it too. So if you haven't watched the
Do
video,
we know if he chose that or if it was chosen for him?
Mean, he sang it well.
no, I think the players get to choose their own songs. That's always been my
To be
understanding when I see things like that. It always seems like it's a song that they know or they like.
right,
Fair
I would
though,
choose the Spanish national anthem.
if
To be fair, if you said, Mark, sing Bryan Adams' Heaven and it's like karaoke version and you got the words in front of me, yeah, I could sing that. Like I know the tune well enough. I don't know the words off the top of my head, but like, so I guess what I'm saying is not impossible that
finding it
he
hard to
would know that.
believe we're
Yeah.
11.
I find it hard to believe
We're
he could think of it.
11.
Yeah.
Sorry. But anyway, so I just it was delightful. But also again, I hope this gets him consistent minutes and gets him playing more regularly again, right? Because you want that for your players and such.
Yes.
Nathan Saliba, also on the move, joining everybody over at Villarreal, which again, I appreciate some of the marketing they're doing about how they're collecting Canadians. There's now three Canadians at Villarreal with Tejon Buchanan and Tanny Olatunji. And they did some fun marketing with that as well. But again, I think that's it seems like again it seems like a good spot for him. He hasn't been in Europe that long, so this is already a big move. Always nice to get to go play with some of your national team, co-stars, that sort of thing, your teammates and stuff. So that's congratulations there.
I respect Villarreal doing the thing that I would do with every version of FIFA, where I would pick a team and just move every Canadian player to it. Just and like, yeah, I don't know why I picked this Bundesliga 2 team, but you're now Canada, and we're going up. So weird that Villarreal would do this while in the top flight. So interesting flex. I hope you get a good pack.
Yes. And then speaking of videos you must watch,
If
I just
I
it's
find
the
it, I'll put it in the
most.
show notes.
Oh yes, please do. Yes. Because it is bonkers. So
Incredible.
Nico Seguir is now with Jason Russell Rowe at Toulouse, which like there was, it was very up in the air as to where he was going to land. It's nice. Looks like he got a nice fee and everything. But like, congratulations to him again. This sounds good. He should play a fair bit there. But the announcement video, I cannot. if I start to describe it, you will think that I am having a nervous breakdown, or I have an aneurysm, or I'm drunk. None of these things are happening.
It doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense whatsoever. It is. I think it's genius, but I don't know if I think it's genius because it's so absurd. But I think it's genius. And also, we admit that there feels like there's an inside joke here that none of us know. So
okay, so now that you've said this,
did you figure out the answer? Tell me.
To lose FC, like their
TFC, Insta, the other TFC,
the original, I guess.
Yeah.
Also love better colors.
Yeah.
All they've got three signings that have a similar theme to it, where it starts with a TV and there's shit in the background that clearly means something. And it, like the first one, they sign somebody and he's a barber. And now this, I'm watching the second one and I'm trying to, there's a bunch of people eating in silence and black and white eating pasta. And oh, he's got a sauce. I'm just going to put a link to Toulouse FC if you haven't.
Oh my God, please do. This go is amazing.
Just there, you'll see like the photo of the player, and then just before it, the still is of a TV. Watch the TVs, and you will see everything that you need to see. I now need social media to have a fucking theme with every signing for an off season going forward. If you don't, you fucking suck at your job. And why do you even do social media? If I didn't already have a horse in this fucking league, I would be Toulouse FC till I die, just on these absurd fucking announcements alone. And marks to the players to being awesome sports and agreeing to it. So
it's
yeah,
so
show
good.
Notes. You're welcome.
So
every
good. Seriously, like you have no idea what you're in for. It's magical.
It's incredible.
All right. We're not done. We keep going. I scrolled too far. Oh my God. Theo Bear, on the move, on loan to Bolton to join Jaden Nelson. So,
as one does.
Congratulations,
I call it Bolton all the
Theo.
Time just because of yeah. Jaden Nelson.
Hopefully, again, this means minutes for him and. Bolton gets a new attacker, and that's good for them. And this one's a bit weird. I think just given very recent performance, so some recency bias here. But Liam Miller, who has played for Hull, recently promoted back up into the
Premier League goal scorer, game winner,
Liam Miller, has now been, is it a loan? It's a loan, right? Yeah. Now he's on loan to Birmingham in the championship. And I was like,
that'll teach him for scoring.
Seriously. How dare you win a match for us and make us look good and continue to be, you know, one of the top teams in the league 2 weeks in, right?
So, Liam, we all lost a lot of money because you scored that goal. How do you feel like being a Brummie?
He was one of the, you know, he did help
Tom,
get
Tom
them
Brady
promoted,
the
you know? He was, you know, he's one of the reasons why, like, you know, like he's done well for them and started the new season in there, you know, and just, oh, thanks, Liam. Back down you go.
Yeah.
There's a good lad. Pat. I feel bad for him in this instance, in that to have it happen, like, just, you know, right at the deadline, like, right, you've had a taste. He scored a goal. He won the match, right? Like all the things. And now it's like, thanks. Off you go. I do like in this article, it's like his next mission. So like giving up his opportunity to play for more minutes. Da da da. Yeah, he's not giving up anything. He's getting loaned out. There's no real guarantee he'll ever make it back with us. His next mission is getting Birmingham back to the top flight for the first time since, yeah, I guess it has been like 15 years, 2010-11 season. What? They're building a 62,000 seat stadium?
Yes, they are, with a bunch of smokestacks.
Holy shit! I did not know that.
One of the channels that I many channels on YouTube that I subscribe to are like super like big builds. And
Okay.
one of them kind of pointed to this whole fucking documentary that reveal thing that they did, and it's like I can't tell if it's like an incredible idea to build a stadium around this theme, or embarrassingly tacky to build a stadium that looks like this. Like the 62,000 seats, like let's like St. Andrews has probably needed more than a fresh coat of paint for since the fucking
Oh,
80s. So like
sure.
so they're 50 years overdue, fabulous. But it looks like a goddamn chim like six chimney stacks or something.
Oh
I
my
can't even.
days.
Yes, I saw it. It's
What?
incredible, not in the positive way. It's like it's incredible, like you guys settled on this and you're sure about it. Incredible it got this far. So.
Wow. Wow. All right. Amazing. And then in non-European English football moves, yet still a national team player, looking like they're on the move here in MLS. Chicago's Joel Waterman is apparently about to be Portland Timbers' Joel Waterman. Joining Joey Pants and Kamal Miller. Oh, Zach McGraw. They're not a national team player yet. So yeah, apparently that's about to happen. So may or may not see Joel Waterman this weekend versus TFC. From the sounds of it, not happy. So yeah, we'll find out. Tom Bogere is the one who reported that.
He's so
I think
fancy.
that's everybody. I think I got it all. If I've forgotten someone, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, leave your name in the comments. We'll apologize next week.
All right. And then something I briefly mentioned earlier when we were talking about NSL, the attendance record for an NSL match was set on the weekend. Montreal Roses beating Halifax 1-0 at Stade Saputo with just over 17,000 fans in attendance,
That's amazing.
which is bonkers and amazing. Beats AFC Toronto's previous record of 14-5 at BMO. But like just to see watching like the highlights of this match just in terms of the crowd being there, like we've all been to Stats again, I like it. It's in that I enjoy going to games there. I don't like where we get shunted to as away fans, but it's still I still find it to be a mostly enjoyable stadium. It's
Yeah,
not
it's pretty.
huge, it's a
Do
good
the home
size.
fans, do the home fans get toilets that aren't just in
Well,
like
in trailers,
temporary trailers?
that is a good question, actually. That's the other problem with Stade Saputo. Yes, the trailer toilets. At least it's not porta potties. Like it is a step up, right? It's a step up. It's slightly classier. But anyway, this is it was loud. It was a great, it was just a great atmosphere, a great turnout. And really, just a sight to see. And you know, like you see people with those shirts often, you know, for other sports, but I think it can be attributed to women's soccer as well, which is everyone watches women's sports. And again, NSL continues to have really good crowds. Just on in their regular stadiums, but to see something like this, that's pretty great. I'm really, really happy as a fan of the sport and as a fan of this league. Any grassroots soccer that gets this kind of support is fantastic, but this just, anyway, this was a really cool thing to see. And yeah, if you get a chance, do watch the highlights. You can probably watch the match back if you want to. But it's anyways, it's pretty freaking cool. Congratulations, Roses.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
What is coming up? Lots of things. First off, again, a little podcast housekeeping. I apologize for the noise. Is that we are going to be taking another break. We're so sorry. But people have travel plans, and
I'm people. It's me.
Yeah, I'm back. Woo.
I wasn't gonna just, you know, reveal all of your things, but
I believe I mentioned that I was gonna see it Norwegian second division.
I know.
That's a weird fake, if that's what I'm like, plausible from me, but also still very bizarre.
Anyway, so Mark's away for a little bit, jaunting around Scandinavia, in the Nordic lands. So we will be taking a bit of a break. We will be back in time to, catch up on whatever has happened. Who knows? Maybe Toronto will really get good, and maybe there'll be more lead changes. Maybe the Calgary Wild will do what I want them to do. Maybe Pacific will suddenly be okay again. I have no idea.
Maybe Alistair Johnson will get a transfer.
Hey, there we go.
I know the window's
open. Hey,
in January, we'll be back. We'll be back before the national teams start playing their friendlies during the international break. So we'll be back to talk about that, see who is all going to some matches, perhaps. I don't know if I'm going to any based on work, but we shall see. Anyway, Toronto, again, this Saturday at BMO, they are playing the Tire Fire. What I think is probably the most interesting thing about Chicago right now is that...
Lewandowski guy?
Yeah. Well, but like, yeah, like it's interesting that Lewandowski is there. And yes, he joined. When did he join? July?
After the World Cup break?
Yeah, after the World Cup. So, you know, and he's done not too badly so far. Obviously, Kuipers is their leading goal scorer. 13 goals in 11 matches. Like, that's scary. But Lewandowski, 4 in 7, 5 of those were starts. Always to be feared. I do love about Chicago, though, is that there are still some just great names on their team. It is nice, you know. Gutman, that makes me so happy every single time. They've got Bamba, Lod. He's still playing, eh? But they score a lot of goals, you know. Like they're in third place in the East. Luckily, we're not playing them at home, where they have a pretty good record. They're slightly more beatable on the road, so here's hoping. They score a decent number of goals. They're not like, they're decent defensively. I guess they're one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. Anyway, this will be, again, I didn't think Toronto could beat Miami, so maybe Toronto can, yeah, I know, maybe Toronto can steal a point off of Chicago at home. But yeah, Rami Malek, how old is he now? Dun, 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 dun. Oh, he's only 33. I actually thought he was older. I don't know why. I just feel like he's been around a long time. And maybe he just has. Maybe he's just played here so long that I think it's been longer than that. But yeah, they score a lot of goals, right? Like they've got some good production. They spread it around a lot of players. Again, Kuipers with 13, Haile Selassie's got 5. Zinkernagel, I'm sorry, I
Yeah,
flexed.
yeah,
How did I scroll
yeah.
past that?
Danish legend
Danish.
Philip Zinkernagel.
My word.
What I want to know is Zinkernagel the type of name that would get you bullied in the Nether in Denmark? Because
That's
I know
incredible.
you would have if he was American or Canadian.
Oh, for sure. But
Hey,
wow.
Pumpernickel.
You could hear the teacher from down the hall going, "Zickernagel, sit down!" Like you can hear it. But I just want to point out, you've slept on Jason Shakalaka, or it's Shakalaka, but Shakalaka is way better.
Where's
And
that? Oh, way down at the bottom.
that's a.
Oh,
I just want to know, is that a full ass last name? Because like that just feels like I
that's
want
a
to know like
great last name.
the entomology. Where does that, last name? Let's see. I don't even have a guess as to where this would be.
It's from
He's
Erie,
from
Pennsylvania.
Erie, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is a great last name.
Most prevalent in the United States. No kidding. How in the Oh,
Now
okay.
that, oh, go on.
All right, so it's a misspelling or a respelling of a Shakaluk, which appears to be Russian.
Oh,
So
okay.
Luk, Shoka, Luk instead of Shoka, Look.
This is one of those things where immigration officials didn't know how to spell the name, and so just completely,
Possibly,
all right,
yeah.
this is what it is now. This is your name.
Yeah, give it
Go.
a couple generations and nobody's questioning nothing. So
Yeah.
interesting. Okay, I learned a lot today, but it's still. It's no Zickernagel, but Shaka Luck is pretty good.
I'm just looking forward to seeing C cups.
I was
Did I
waiting
fucking
for
miss that
that.
one again? God damn it.
Christopher Cup, apparently.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. It is pretty good.
42. He's only got two appearances in 42 minutes. Well, that's a bust.
I see what you did there.
Thanks.
Jesus.
Boobies. Okay. Back to serious
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
podcasting. Zinkernagel, down.
You pay your badge and your gun.
No, that's Bronico.
Yeah, that's, oh my God. When he was playing in that game, every time they said his name, I was like, Bronico.
Bronico,
I
in
was
my
so
office
happy.
now.
I was so happy that he started and that he was involved in things. He's a shit disturber, right? Like, so they had to keep talking about it. I'm like, yes, this is so good. I was so sad when he got subbed off.
When we were doing voices back in the day, I always would we gave somebody like the sheriff gimmick and
I want to say it was Taylor Porter.
was it? Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah, I kept finding ways like and I got the mayor something down my something.
Oh,
Breathing down my ass.
Yeah, breathing
Something
down my
like
ass.
something like
Yeah.
that.
I still can't believe I said that without dying laughing because it's so hilarious. Bronico had the mayor breathing down his ass in this episode. Yeah, so.
Oh my God, so good. So good. It is, it's, oh, Veronica.
Making fun of MLS player last names is such a treat and a joy to do
It is.
during the season. We don't really do this to any other league, but also they don't deserve it. So,
There's that too. What is
and
Bomba's first name anyway? I don't
it's not Law, that's for sure.
know. No, I know. Jonathan.
Did you say I see Waterman here? You said he's to Chicago or away from?
Away from. So it's not confirmed yet, but likely to now be a Portland Timber as opposed to playing for Chicago. So we'll find out on the weekend, I guess. Presumably be confirmed before then, but you know, it is MLS. They only certain things do they like to talk about loudly. Leo Messi. Annoying four goal game. I mean, I guess it was a pretty good performance.
MLS now, you know, officially the only place you can ever catch Lionel Messi. I guess
exactly.
Step and what have you, and champions, what have you, and all that eventually. But,
that's it. God, that section on the MLS homepage is never going away. Oh dear. Anyway, so Chicago are very good. They're a good team this year, and you know, Lewandowski made them better, obviously, more firepower. They score a fair number of goals. They play a pretty tidy game. It's not going to be easy. They just acquired, look at this. So they just acquired Andreas Conche Olsen from Mets. That was announced today. So they brought in some defensive help before the weekend. Amazing. So good.
Yay.
And he scores. Oh, no, he doesn't really. Okay, that's a lot of matches. Never mind. So there we go. 22 caps for Norway since 2021. Congratulations. All right. Well, there you go. So they have a new defender on tap. But regardless, it won't be, I think, you know, the Miami match aside, this will be, you know, one of Toronto's more difficult matches of late. Certainly, I think probably over the next bit, this will be one of their harder opponents. But if they continue to play the way they've been playing, I do think there's a chance they get a point. I don't know that they're going to win. I mean, there's not a chance in hell that they're going to win. I say about
good God,
no. I don't know. I'm going to say 2-2. My prediction.
I will go with 2-2 all sounds good. I was trying to talk myself into thinking that Toronto could score 3. They'll concede 2, but I think they could score 2. It's can they score 3? Fuck it. 3-2 Toronto.
Go.
Woof.
Look, the good times have to end sometime. Let's just do it now.
I will go with 3-1 Chicago. Yeah.
It's not unrealistic. I'll still stick with my. All right, Mark's super positive. I'm more ambivalent. Duncan is hewing true to form. I love it. All right. And then they play a bunch more games. So like they play like 3 games while we're off, I think. So next Wednesday against Nashville, and then away to Orlando, and then away to St. Louis. Orlando's one of the teams they're chasing in the standings. And then Nashville's top of the league, so we don't even think about that really. And St. Louis, they're not terrible. They're mid table. So what's their home form like? Decent home form, so we'll see. But they have some, they got some stuff going on. We'll see what happens with them again upon our return. However, so yeah, over the next couple weeks, there are tomorrow is the first leg for the other tie in the Voyagers Cup, which is the MLS side of the draw. So Whitecaps and the Cheesemakers. And then the follow-up matches are 2 weeks from now. So perhaps we'll be back to talk about one of those whilst it is happening. But then CanPL this weekend, we'll just look at that. Yeah, like I said, York Six has a bunch of matches coming up. So they play on Saturday, and then they play again on Wednesday, and then they play again on the 4 days later. Anyway, they're the ones with the most game. They're it's again the unbalanced thing, so they're going to make up for a lot of matches. But who is, let's see, I scroll backwards. So Hamilton is playing York Six on the weekend. Otleti have the Aquamen. Seagulls have Supra on Sunday. And again, Supra have put in some decent performances of late, but Seagulls do not want to let go of that playoff spot. And then Halifax versus Calgary. That's probably, now that's in Halifax, so they could use the power of the crowd to maybe put a little damper in Calgary's recent ascension to the top of the table, but we'll see. All right, there's some good matchups coming up. Do check the CanPL website. There's a few games that are on CBC Gem. There's some that are on TSN. So that's always worth checking out as well if you don't have One Soccer or Fubo, because that's the other way you get to watch those matches. Anyway, I think I'll just be curious to see, yeah, if Pacific can put together, can stay consistent over the next little while, and what happens with that top duo, or if someone in like third or fourth can try to gain some ground. That'll be interesting. And then in NSL, what we got going on here? Well, Toronto's playing Calgary this weekend, so they're going to try and put an end to Calgary's run of goodness. But the interesting match, and it is like it's the TSN, ESPN. Obviously, it's on RDS because it's a Montreal game. Is the Ottawa Montreal match at high noon on Sunday? Which, because they are the right at the very top of the table right now. And then the following weekend, Montreal and Toronto go head to head. So that's always oops. TSN Premium. What the fuck does that
Ooh,
mean? What
means
is
I'm not
that?
paying for it.
I was gonna say,
TSN
yeah.
Premium. That
Which
sounds
like
very exciting.
it sounds very exciting and very expensive. What the hell? But it's also on YouTube and ESPN, so let's just maybe do it that way. And then yeah, Calgary and Halifax, so that could be good for Calgary. And then the Seagulls, not Seagulls, God, the Rise versus Ottawa. But yeah, there's a couple, sort of table wise, some interesting matchups, and then yeah, whether or not Calgary can maintain some sort of even keel in the face of no matter who they play, right? So anyway, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. Also, do follow the NSL Winnipeg socials if you haven't already, because they occasionally post some fun stuff. Desi Scott, she doesn't mind poking fun at herself and having a bit of a laugh, and Gail's sort of the same way. So they post some silly things, but It is exciting. And also, speaking of that, I don't know if this is more of a hopeful case than what happened with Winnipeg, because we sort of knew the second that Desiree Scott had moved back to Winnipeg and taken that position, with that other, it was just like, oh, okay, she just happens to be going back home and working with a club there. Yeah, not suspicious at all. And then, oh, there's a survey. But there is, are they on Instagram? Anyway, there's an NSL Edmonton sort of feeler out there, which has been going on for a couple weeks now. And like that's, again, I don't know that that's been one of the city names that have been bandied about, but that would be kind of cool if it did. Anyway, so there's been some chat. There's been a petition, and there's been a lot of posts about it. So just keep an eye on that too. Again, it really, really kind of cool to see excitement and interest for more clubs for the NSL. Did I forget anything,
Don't think so.
gentlemen?
Not that I'm aware of. Good job,
Anyway,
Kristen.
thanks.
I'll save it.
Yeah, there's lots of good footy coming up for you all to enjoy. And then yes, the national teams, both the men's and the women, will be about towards the end of this month, and so the women's national team is in Montreal and Toronto, sort of bookending Thanksgiving, and then same thing with the men's national team. They're in Toronto and then in Montreal, so the end of September and the beginning of October. So there will be options to go see your national teams, which, if you can, I highly recommend it. So, all
Great.
right. Well, that's our show for this week and for the next couple of weeks. So thank you all for listening and joining us. We hope you have a lovely re-entry. Enjoy these last couple of weeks of summer, because even though it's September, it is still summer. Seasons don't change until like 3 weeks from now. Everyone just settle down. And again, if you're in like this part of Ontario, it certainly feels like summer out there. So, but yeah, if you like the X, go enjoy the X some more. Again, there's another TFC match this weekend. It is during the X, so you can have a good time if that's one of your traditions. But yeah, go see some soccer, go have some fun, watch sports, get outside and touch some grass if you can. We'll see you in a few weeks.
Good deal.
Right. As always, joined by these two delightful gentlemen, to be found on tweets at Duncan D. Fletcher, Mr. Duncan Fletcher.
Hello.
Out on the tweet machine at Kit Earn Mark with a K, not a Q, Mr. Mark Hinckley.
Thank you to everybody who continues to support our podcast. Either just listening, if you want to throw a tip in the tip jar, you can find our Patreon at vocalminority.ca. Thank you for your patience. If you've missed us for the last couple of months, I know I said it on the last episode, but again, like I said, found others. So hooray, you're back, I hope. And yeah, let's see what magic we can cause when we come back.
Yeah.
Cliffhanger. Nice.
Yes.
As for me, you can find me on the internet. Yes, the entire internet at KZ Knowles. I have been your host, Kristen Knowles. And until next time, Canada, get used to it.